Blog Talk Radio.
Small businesses are the heart of the American economy. They're responsible for half of all private sector jobs. And they create roughly 70% of all new jobs in the past decade. Small businesses are not only job generators, they're also at the heart of the American dream. After all, these are businesses born in family meetings around kitchen tables. Born when a worker takes a chance on her desire to be her own boss. They're born when a part-time inventor becomes a full-time entrepreneur. Or when somebody sees a product that could be better, a service that could be smarter, and they think, well, why not me? Let me try it. Let me take my shot.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. This is the Business Coaching Corner. I'm your host, Emmanuel Neal. And every week we come together and feature entrepreneurs that are making a mark in their industry and try to learn a little bit about what they're talking about and what they're doing and try to gain some insight. So this week I am happy to have one of my turntable brothers, a veteran DJ here in Chicago and many other places, I'm sure. Founder of HMH Productions, works with Clear Channel Radio and iHeart Radio as well. What's going on, Al Hot Mix Holmes? How are you?
How are you doing, sir? Long time no see.
I know it's been a minute, brothers, but I'm good. I'm more blessed than stressed. What about you? What's going on with you?
Man, no complaints here. Like I said, enjoying the married life, you know, trying to make new strides, trying to be, as they say, cutting edge and, you know, trying to find new paths.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. We're going to talk about cutting edge and new paths. thank you. You didn't give me a couple of questions. So HMH Productions, what is HMH Productions?
Actually, it's a combination of everything I do. I mean, I've been DJing since 82, so, you know, 30 plus years as a DJ. I've been remixing and producing just going into 10 years now. And it's just a combination of both of those things, but also the passion of passing on of all that knowledge. You know, because one of the things I like to do is the people I work, because, you know, in this business you just run into so many other people as far as artists and other creative people. And a lot of times in this business, people may give you an opportunity or sort of open the door for you. They're like, okay, hey, well, I can sort of help you. And they'll just give you the tools you need, but not the direction, you know. And I think that's what we see a lot of times on TV in the world. It's like, you know, you see somebody like a Toni Braxton who's platinum, but now she's filing for bankruptcy. I'm like, wait, she saw all those records. How that happened? You know, and it's because nobody really shared the business side of it, you know, all the little inside out. But it's sort of like they just throw you out there in the middle of the pond. And my whole thing is everybody I work with, ain't all the knowledge I have, I just pass it on, you know, and you take it from there, you know. But at least I could tell you, like, hey, you know, 5 miles up the road, there's a pothole you might encounter, and, you know, these are might be the things you can do to sidestep that, you know, but it's up to you, you know. But I'm just letting you know that the pothole is there, you know, so those are things I still have to do.
So are you working with artists right now in the production business? And the next question would be then, do you coach them? I know you're saying you give them your knowledge, but as you work with them along the way, are you finding yourself coaching them and being that mentor?
Yes, because I think I think right now, if you look at a lot of new artists, no matter what field they're in, you know, it don't have to be just music or whatever. But I'm really, I mean, I have a brother here right now who's been coming over here, and I've been sharing knowledge as far as the DJ. A lot of these people are getting into whatever art form they feel called to do, and they're starting off alone by themselves, or they're learning on their own. You know, where for us, you know, just from the DJ standpoint, if you look at any DJ, you know, 20, you know, who's been spending more than 20 years, they've come up under another DJ. You know, they sort of like, okay, I really like the way this guy play. I'm going to learn from him. And they sort of approach that guy like, oh, yeah. And, you know, and they start, that guy's passed down his knowledge, you know, to us, you know. And, you know, we went, you know, and then we practiced and, you know, took our craft to the next level. But that's what I'm seeing. That's not happening. I'm starting to see people like, you know what, I think this is what I want to do. And then they just start on this path by themselves with no mentor, no tutoring, and you can hear it and you can see it, you know. And I just want to be that guy where is, okay, you know, if somebody says, you know what, I want to learn what you do, I got no problem. And I'm going to tell you, I want to share all my life. Because you have that other side, too, where people want to know, and they're in that position like, you know what, I don't want to share my knowledge with you. And to me, I think it's a bad thing, because to me it's another extension of legacy, and I think people really don't understand the word legacy, because legacy just isn't, you know, leaving your kids, you know, on this planet and putting whatever you have into them. A legacy is leaving a bit of yourself with whoever wants it. Anybody who wants to know what I know and take advantage of that knowledge, I am more than willing to give it to them. And for me, that's my way of leaving a legacy, you know, for somebody else to take what I've learned, you know, to help advance them a lot quicker, miss some of those pitfalls, and then to take it to that next level.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, and I can I definitely see that on you. When we worked together, you were one of the best DJs I liked working with, not only because of your skill, but also your humility and your willingness to talk about the craft and the industry, and just, you know, that approachableness. And that translates very well. I can hear in your voice and in your description how important that is to you. And you touched on another thing that's important, which is one of the things that I've embraced as a coach and why I've started working with artists and entrepreneurs, is that it is a lonely journey. It can be, you know, when you're practicing your craft, you're practicing your skill, you're practicing your business, you know, you're working on, you know, you're working on those numbers, you're working on the details. It's good to have somebody that you can call, or it's good to have somebody that that has a little bit of knowledge and can help you. And so I appreciate that that you're doing that for artists. I think that's very important and very that's very valued to the artist that recognizes it.
Yeah, I think to the industry as a whole, you know, it just benefits everybody. It benefits the artist, and it benefits the craft as a whole, you know, because that's one of the things that really, you know, coming up as a DJ, when, you know, I have the opportunity to be in that whole house scene as it was exploding, as we all did, but I also had the benefit of knowing some of these people that was already there doing it, you know, and then to hear the horror stories like, oh, well, the label did this to me, and, you know, we sold, you know, 30,000, you know, records here, and that's what we got paid for. But then we went overseas, we found out we sold 1 million copies over there, but we didn't see that money, you know. And when I started hearing in those stores, I'm like, wow, you know what? As much as I would like to do this, I was like, I don't think, you know, this is something for me. So I sort of pulled back, you know, and went a different way. I became a mobile DJ, you know, which was still cool because that aspect taught me how to play for different crowds, how to read them. So it gave me a whole nother skill set to add to what I do as a DJ. But now, moving forward into today, with the dawn of the internet is such a game changer. Because now, with the internet, you don't need, as an artist, that need to have a major label bagging you isn't such a major issue now. Because I tell people all the time now, getting music out is the easy part. That part.
Exactly.
The hard part now is getting known, which, you know, that's what a label did for you, is they got you those radio interviews, the TV appearances, the tours, but once again, that's where the real work in today's music, or as an artist in any format, that's the real hard part, is getting out there. But the internet has made it easier. You know, I was just talking to my friend today, you know, YouTube video is I'm starting to see now, is the most powerful tool as far as getting you out there. It's the shortest bridge to getting out there, because when people tell me, well, you got this song or this new song, I'm like, well, I haven't heard that song. Well, it's on YouTube. 90% of the people that find new music, they're finding it on YouTube, which just proves the power of video. So, you know, one of the things I'm doing now is, with me producing and remixing, I want to get to the point, which a lot of house artists aren't doing, is what every time I drop a song, I got to have a music video behind it. You know, it's just mandatory in today's age, especially if you don't try to stay independent.
And that's a great point, too. And it's interesting because that thought of YouTube being that mandatory outlet for a music video, it took me back to when MTV and Friday Night Videos came out. And it was the same thought process then. Artists were making singles and stuff, but once they were able to do videos, it was that same thought process, like, got to drop a video with it, or sometimes might even drop the video first. You know, so let me get into some of the specifics.
Now, Beyonce just took it to the next level. Now, she just done it twice. The new, which she is groundbreaking, is now, instead of announcing I'm dropping a new album, I just tell you, it's out right now. Come get it.
Right, exactly.
She did that on her first album. Now she did the second time, but now she took it to the next step. It's a visual album, is what they call it.
Right.
So she comes out with videos for music, just to prove the power of video.
Yeah, and what she did was amazing in that aspect. And I would definitely tell anybody young that's trying to get out there and be an artist. Number one, I tell people, same thing that you mentioned about having a mentor and coming up under somebody, is to find who you would want to emulate, or who's doing it in the genre and in the space that you want to get in, and try to, you know, model that, you know. And so Beyonce right now, like you said, she's a trendsetter, and she's, you know, she's definitely somebody that you would want to model and to try to fashion your career after. So let's get into some of the little specific things that, you know, you're able to teach up-and-coming artists and stuff. You've been working on your own tracks, and you've worked with other artists. What are some of the And the reason why this is fresh in my mind is, honestly, I was talking to my daughter earlier today. She's talking about going out to California and doing some music. And one of the things I really tried to impress upon her is don't go anywhere until you have a contract that has been reviewed by your people and is solid and really looks out for you, especially coming from Illinois going out to California. So what are some of the things that that contract needs to, or, you know, what you would recommend at least needs to be in there?
Well, I tell everybody, I've once again, just coming up, you know, meeting people and learning things, I've learned there's two terms, and you hear it a lot in sports. You have a contract, and then you have what's called a negotiation or something like that. There's another term for it. Contract is one, but the other one is, it basically means a negotiation. A contract is brick and mortar. It's basically black and white. It's A, B, C, nothing else in between, no gray areas. You know, it is what it is, and, you know, that's it, done deal. But a negotiation is where both parties are sitting down like, okay, I need this, that, and the other thing. Then the other side, well, we need this, that, and the other thing. And then we come up with a plan that works for both of us. And everybody, I tell every artist, never settle for a contract. Everything is negotiable. Because one, if somebody says they're interested in you and they want to work with you, if they're serious, they're willing to be, they're willing to negotiate. So because you have something to offer, never diminish your craft. Never say, well, this is what I have to settle for. No, it's your craft. It's your passion. Everything is negotiable. Never walk into a room thinking you have to take whatever they give you. Everything is negotiable. Because your reason why you're in that room is because you have something to offer. So you always come in that with that mindset.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. Know what you're, so basically you need to walk in knowing what your value is and what you're worth, knowing that your skills are tight and all of that other good stuff.
Absolutely.
Our labels.
Because when you walk, because if you walk into, and that's why a lot of artists fall into the trap, because they walk in like, oh, wow, this is Motown, or this is, you know, Arista or whatever, you know, man, and they want me, you know, so I'm just going to take whatever they give me. No, if you're sitting in Arista in front of Clive Davis, obviously Clive Davis sees something very valuable in you, else you wouldn't be in that room in the first place. So that does, so when you find yourself in that position, all that does is just verifies something you already know. And it, so your thinking is, well, okay, I need to think about what I really want out of this and see if they're willing to give it to me, or seeing what we can agree upon. That's the mindset. You always got to walk in with that, because you know what you have to offer. So you always walk in that mindset, and people respect that.
Now, one of the things that I've been talking to artists about, and it's along those lines of knowing your worth and what, you know, what you bring to the table, is diversifying. One of the things I've been talking about is diversifying their art and being able to come with more than just your raw talent and skills. So along that same mindset, what other things do artists need to bring now to that negotiating table other than just their talent and skill? You know, do they need to be able to say, I have this many followers and I can play this many instruments, or, you know, this or that, I can dance and blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, is all of that extra necessary, or is it, or just your raw skill good enough? And I know that goes artist to artist and depends on the skill. But I think my intuition says that, you know, you kind of need to have a little bit more up your sleeve, because there's a lot of competition. You know, am I right or wrong? Where are you at on that?
My feelings on that, and I was just talking about it with somebody else, and my feeling is that it actually goes back to where we started this conversation at with mentors, because just like sports, raw talent will get you to a certain – raw talent will open doors for you that may not be open for other people, depending on how much raw talent you have, just like in sports. You know, you know, you're great at this, at, you know, with this raw talent skill. But that raw talent skill, as we know, is only going to get you so far. So that's why the mentorship or following somebody where you want to be, it becomes so important, because just like in sports, you may have this raw talent. You can probably jump out the building and everything, and you may make it to the playoffs, but then you always get knocked out in the first round because your raw talent isn't enough, because now you're playing more experienced players that's been there, done that. They've already won a few championships. They know how to win. And that's the difference between having just raw talent and then having raw talent plus experience and knowledge. So that's the mentoring part becomes so important, because now you're going to have the raw talent, the knowledge. Those are the extra things that's going to make you a superstar, because now you don't have the raw, just the raw talent. You got your raw talent plus the knowledge plus the experience you've learned from somebody else's experience, and those are the things that's going to make you a superstar. And when you combine all that, that's what's going to take you to the next level.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. And then I would even add to that is knowing the talents and skills of the people around you, and being able to, you know, implement that into not only your talent and your game plan, but also the team, you know.
Everybody got to have a team.
Exactly.
Because team is very important, because I always say you can't do everything, and you can't do everything well. So you have to pull in other people that does other things well that fits into what you're trying to do. And that comes but the only way to get there is having knowledge of self. Knowing who you are, what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go. And then, like I said, when you have somebody mentoring you, giving you some extra bonus knowledge, now that'll give you the insight to see what talents and skills other people have that will fit and work into what you're trying to do that could benefit both of y'all. You know, like, well, you know what I see, and that will put you into the position of being a visionary. That's what visionaries are. They're able to basically put puzzles together, like, oh, you know what, I see this will work over here and that'll work over there to make this complete picture. And so those things is what push you into that visionary status, you know, which is also a skill that has to be learned.
Excellent, excellent. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Al Hot Mix Holmes, founder of HMH Productions, veteran DJ and producer. So what projects do you have coming up? What are you working on right now?
Well, I am the stage I'm at right now, personally, is as a DJ, I feel I have nothing to prove. So I'm not, you know, heavily pursuing, you know, trying to do a residency or anything. You know, if people ask me to play, I'm glad to play, you know, but it's not like I'm out there you know, trying to make something happen, you know. So I feel, you know, that part's been proven. You know, my focus now is making a mark as far as in production and remixes. So my focus has been towards that and making a mark in that area. So as far as remixing, I'm really getting into working with more different artists. I've been doing, you know, a lot of work with Kingdom Records with Jerry C. King, so which is sort of which has been excellent because that's been tapping me into other artists that I, you know, normally wouldn't get to work with, but being part of that family, it's allowed me to do that. And then personally, I'm just trying to be push the envelope as far as a house producer. So, you know, I've got quite a few singles and EPs. There's been a little lull right now because I'm just really working on new sound, really. Because what I'm starting to notice as a producer, all the producers in house music sort of like the same sounds, because we'll come around, you know, these producer packs and everything, and it seems like everybody likes the same sounds and packs. But with these new programs, they're so powerful. You can create your own sounds. And I've listened to people like Dennis Ferrer, and one of the things I'm noticing that really makes him hot is because in his production, he just have a lot of different sounds. He don't have the normal. I mean, he has some of the common sounds, but then on top of that, he's adding new sounds that are just new. And all your big artists where there's a change in the sound or they just change the game, it's because they're adding something new, something you haven't heard before. So I am actually just doing a lot of tweaking and everything and just really trying to create new different sounds to add to my production.
That's interesting, and I tip my hat to you because I did hear you say that you started remixing in the last couple of years, and I tried my hand at it. You know, I've worked with Ableton and Fruity Loops and the different producer packs that you're talking about. I'm familiar with all of those, and quite honestly, to get the sound that I wanted to play, you know, to get the sound that I really like, which for me is soulful, jazzy, just beating, but also smooth house. For me, it was hard to get to create the sound that I wanted to play. So I messed around with it for a while, and then I just kind of said, okay, there are plenty of other people putting out good music. I'll just focus on being a great DJ. So I give you much props for doing that and sticking with it. How's it been working with these various artists?
It's been an excellent working experience because for me, what really started me on this path was I worked early with a lot of gospel hip-hop artists because they'll take my regular songs and put, like, these gospel hip-hop lyrics over them. And a lot of things I heard from artists that work with producers was it's like, well, they work on a project together, and after it's all done, the artist is like, well, I mean, I like it, but it's not what I wanted it to be. And what I've learned was there seemed to be this language barrier between producers and artists because artists have this sound in their head, and then they're trying to translate it to the producers. And somewhere in between that exchange of words, it just gets missed. So I learned early that I want to be able to listen to a person and hear, okay, this is the sound I'm looking for. This is sound of what? And give it to them. So I started working early as far as bridging that gap of communication of learning what an artist is trying to tell me and be able to deliver that. So that early training has helped me in today as far as, you know, working with more seasoned artists, and it's really been a benefactor for me. So, you know, and that's one of the things, just working on that communication as far as being able to work with different people and understanding what they want and then being able to give it to them, understanding, you know, certain words like, okay, I know what you want, where you're trying to go, boom.
Interesting. There's a couple of things that you said, but number one, I want to let the people know, if you're listening online, if you we have another few minutes to talk, maybe about another 10 minutes, you can call in 213-943-3358 and ask a question or just continue to listen. Otherwise, thanks for tuning in. We're here every week, and please come back, same bat time, same bat channel. So yeah, you mentioned being able to communicate and being able to listen to the artist. Do you find that a lot of the artists do come in? Because it seems that, you know, I know artists and producers need to work together, but it seems oftentimes producers kind of create what their beat is, or, you know, give us a little bit of a view into the studio and in terms of how an artist works with a producer.
Well, number one, I wanted to put this out there. As an artist, number one, this, first of all, understand this is work. You have to put in work to be where you want to be. You know, I've learned that you need to be always ready, because people will come to me and like, oh, well, you know, I want to sing. You know, this is my passion. This is what I want to do. Okay, sing me something. Well, you know, I don't have any music right now. Well, just sing a cappella. Well, you know, if this is
right.
What you want to do, you know, if this is what you want
right,
to do,
yeah.
This is your passion, you are ready 24/7. Because what I have learned, you don't have to be the most talented person in the world. You just need to be always ready and consistent. Because if you're that way, that's where opportunity lies. Because what I've seen is, long as nobody that you admire or follow popped up overnight. Everybody in this business put in their dues and work. And what happens is, one day an opportunity came, and that led into another opportunity, and then there's another opportunity that just changes your life forever. And what I've learned, as long as you stay in the game and you're always ready and you keep perfecting your craft, something has to happen. You cannot be in this business and put in the work and nothing happens. If you put in the work, you're always ready, you're always prepared, something has to happen. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen in 5 years. It may not happen in 10 years, but something has to happen if you keep that mindset, because it happens to everybody. If you watch Unsung and all these stories, they are all the same. These people put in work, they practice, they're everything, and they're always ready, you know. And what I'm starting to see now, too, there's a lot of artists put in the work because they know this technology is out here. You know, they know about auto-tune and things like that. You know, we'll be in a studio and they're like, okay, you know what? This is great. We need to do this part over. Well, can't you fix it in the mix? Yeah, I can fix it in the mix. But when you're on stage, I can't fix it. The studio is where you learn to correct your mistakes. I tell my artists all that. The studio is the place to learn and correct your mistakes. So that way, when you're out there live, you're not making those mistakes and you're on point. Because you don't ever want to be, you know, people say, well, this is what I want to do. And, you know, they're coming in here, they're singing all flat, you know, they're not being serious about the craft. And there's other people out there that are so serious, that are so hungry, and then you go out there and perform, you know, and there's somebody that's just blowing up the stage, and you got to come up behind them with a subpar performance. You don't want to be that guy.
Right.
You know, so I tell everybody, you know, there is work involved, and if you're not willing to put in the work, don't even get started. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you know, you got to put in the work. I've learned that just from the producing end, because I've heard other producers. I'm like, man, this guy is hot. I mean, his stuff has just hit me over the head, and I'll call these people up, which is also something that is so smooth about this day and age. A lot of times people are so afraid to approach people and ask them things. And you'll be surprised mm-hmm. how many people are willing to share information with you. The worst mm-hmm. thing anybody could tell you is no, but at least
exactly.
ask, and you'll be surprised how many people are willing to share information. And there's so many people I have to, you know, I totally appreciate that they've shared their knowledge with me to make me a better producer, you know, and they all said the same thing, like, yeah, you got programs that does this and everything, but, man, you just got to put in the work. You got to take the time mm-hmm. and, you know, EQ this and spend hours EQing that and doing all, you just got to put in the work for it to sound that way. Yeah, there's programs
mm-hmm.
for it, but there's no replacing putting in that work, and it's the same for anything else in the craft. You got to put in the work for the craft.
Excellent, excellent, and I'm glad that you said that because you're right. It is, as we both know, it's hours standing there at the turntable, or it's hours going over that note, going over this song, going over that verse, making it tight, all of that. So that's and I think that sometimes, like you said, with the technology and with this new era that we're in, people think it's a lot easier than it is. We have a caller on the line. I'm going to go here real quick and see if they want to say anything, and then we'll come back to your next thought, because I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, no problem. That's what what I'm here for.
Okay, great, man. 312-434, if you'd like to jump in, go ahead. Your line is open.
I'm listening. It's all very interesting, and it's making me get up and do what I need to do and my craft, which has nothing to do with music, but your words are encouraging. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to be of any help, you know, because like I said, these are all principles, and principles apply to whatever. You know, that's just like, you know, the famous saying, God rains on the just and unjust. If it rains, it rains on everybody. And the same applies to everything. You know, I've noticed that some people have a hard time applying a principle to something else. And that's another part of being successful in anything that you do, is taking something you already know and recognizing the similarities to something else. Some people actually have a
mm-hmm.
hard time doing that, because I was
mm-hmm.
working with a lady at the radio station where she said she wants to get in production. I'm like, okay. I showed her how to, you know, work with the program and, you know, and edit music and everything. She said, wow, it's so hard. I don't know how to do it. Now, this is the same lady at the radio station who does edits and do all the voiceovers at the radio station. And I told
right.
her, that you already do it, but you just do it with vocals. Now you're just going to take those same skills and apply it to music. But she could not bridge that gap. She couldn't see it, you know. And that's another thing. That's another skill you have to sort of cultivate, is being able to recognize. Because you'll be surprised the knowledge that's in your head right now, how that knowledge
mm-hmm.
can apply to your craft. You know,
mm-hmm.
just like, I have a day job just like everybody else. I do automation. And I work on these machines that have all these different parts that have to work in synchronous to make cups.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at that job, it's like, you know what? it's just like what I do in producing, because I have to take vocals and musical parts, and I have to line them up and keep them in time. And I see the correlation between the two. This is just like producing, even though I'm working on a mechanical machine. And no matter what you do in life, you know, you need to develop that craft of taking the knowledge, because there's nothing in your head that's worthless. There's things you've experienced in life, things that's happened to you, where that knowledge can apply to something else that you're going to move into in your future or in your craft. There are similarities in knowledge, and you have to be able to connect those dots.
Gotcha. Yeah, I do. Thank you.
Well, thank you for tuning in and listening and supporting. And if you have a young person that's into music, be sure to share this podcast with them. I sent a text to my children and said, y'all better tune in and listen.
You know, I will. I'm a definitely
good. Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. So don't go anywhere. We got a few more minutes. I got a couple more minutes to pick this man's brain, but thank you again for tuning in. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk about money a little bit in the music industry. A lot of people, you know, definitely expect to get paid. And obviously we hear those that have struck it rich and, you know, and done it. But in general, how does that work between the labels and the artists? You know, we hear all these horror tales like you were just saying, you know, somebody didn't get paid overseas, but they got paid locally, or let's look at the rap game. You know, there's plenty of stories about artists not getting what they're supposed to. In general, how does money work or supposed to work?
Well,
and if you can do this in about, I'll give you about a minute and a half, because then we're going to start wrapping it up. But, you know, in about 2 minutes, give me just a quick rundown.
There's three levels. You can make money in sales, and then you make money in performances. You know, usually the money in sales is through the label. Usually money in performances come directly to you as an artist. So the bulk of money that generally an artist makes is through performances. The lesser of the two comes from the label, because especially if you sign to a label and you got a signing bonus, that is a loan, and they expect you to pay that back, you know. So,
now, that's
they don't
interesting. The signing bonus is a loan. Okay.
It's a loan. They want that money back. They're just saying, we're going to give you this money for you to do what you're already doing, you know, to take you to that next level, but we want that money back. And that's why you have these artists that could sell, you know, gold platinum, and next thing you know, they're filing bankruptcy because they took that money, they spent it, that new house, got that Lamborghini, and didn't even think about, man, I got to pay that money back, because they didn't know the business. You know, so that's the one part. But like I said, now that's changed with the internet, because even with these music companies, it's harder because, one, you're selling individual tracks for 99 cents, you know, 125, 150, whatever it is, you know. So now it's not as much money, but there's still a lot of money to be made. You know, it's just not as much. Oh, the third part is a writer. Now, if you're an artist who sings and writes, now, that's a third income stream, because as a writer, that's another stream of income that's separate from the label, because you register your work as a writer. Anybody can see it. You get paid for it. You know, so that's another third stream as an artist, if you have the talent of writing, which is separate from the label. That's what it's for you.
You have dropped a lot of knowledge on us, brother, and I really appreciate it. We got the music in the background telling us it's almost time to get out of here. We ain't got to go home, but, you know, the ugly lights are coming on. But thank you very much, Al Hot Mix Holmes, for for blessing us and giving us all this information and knowledge. I really appreciate it.
And no problem, bro. No problem.
You want to leave a word or two with the audience?